I'm very pleased to have been asked to deliver this keynote address today and to share with you my views on the important role of Australia's national broadcaster. Before I do, however, I would like to acknowledge the custodians of the land, the Turrbal people, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Since Prime Minister Morrison announced my appointment in February this year, I've often been asked about the ABC's future. We face challenges, and like all media organisations, we are disrupted by digital change. But I sense new opportunities for the ABC and the digital landscape as we focus on our strengths, excellence, innovation, public service, and rewarding both niche and broad audiences with distinctive programs. Technology is going at a rapid pace. Things are evolving quickly, and when faced with evolution, those who adapt survive. Media evolution has been driven by technology. In the space of a decade, newspapers and magazines have had to make the transition from Gutenberg to Zuckerberg technology. Television no longer has to be the big piece of furniture that took up much of the living room. These days, television is a mobile, personalised service with programs available from across the world at the touch of a button or even at your verbal command. It's no longer his master's voice. It's, "Alexa, find me the news." Crucially, these programs are often delivered without the disruption of advertisements. The FANGs, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Google and Netflix, are taking a huge bite out of Australia's advertising pie. And as a result, the bottom line for commercial TV, radio and print is getting smaller by the day. I've learned a fair bit about adaptation, working for most of my professional life in commercial media, and I've no doubt the Australian commercial media is facing its most challenging times. We at the ABC may not face precisely identical pressures, but we have plenty of our own to deal with. A diminishing budget in real terms, the rising costs of making high-end Australian content, competing against an almost endless supply of programs from the giant international competitors, continued investment in resource-intensive public interest journalism, balancing the cost of maintaining traditional broadcast technology while investing in digital and online services, and a public that rightfully demands the highest quality Australian content where and when they want it. We are now in what some have called the attention economy. Commercial media and other companies aren't just competing for your purchasing power and data, but for your time. The founder of Netflix, Reed Hastings, said that their biggest competitor wasn't Amazon, Disney, or YouTube, it was sleep. Each minute, more than 500 hours of content is being uploaded to YouTube. 1 million people are logging onto Facebook, 700 hours of content is being watched on Netflix. Reed Hastings was joking to some extent, but he is right. Time is the ultimate scarce commodity. So on the one side, barriers are down, with content and services flooding in from across the world. On the other, Australian commercial media is pulling up the drawbridge to save their most valuable possession, shareholder confidence. They are taking fewer risks, concentrating and rationalising their resources, investing only in what they have to, and banding together to increase scale. And why wouldn't they? They're commercial businesses that need to turn a profit, or else they will no longer keep turning at all. They have to make the toughest decisions to survive. So what does this mean for Australia's national broadcaster, and more importantly, for the public, who rely on local media for their news, information and entertainment? I think this is our opportunity to be bold, to be enterprising, to be Australian. I will turn back briefly to the past to inform the future. In its earliest days, Australian cinema was an international pioneer, but with the post-war flood of Hollywood content, by the 1960s it had reached its lowest ebb. However, with a real nurturing of Australian talent and creativity, the support and leadership of government, first by John Gorton and then by Gough Whitlam, a publicly funded entity as a hothouse for local content and a renewed focus on uniquely Australian storytelling, the situation was turned around. By the 1970s and the 1980s, Australian cinema underwent a renaissance, and films like Picnic at Hanging Rock, Mad Max and Gallipoli were not only popular here, but critically acclaimed and commercially successful overseas. So with the right commitment, there is opportunity for Australian media and for the ABC. I have only to look at our own little cattle dog, Bluey, as an example. Now, you may have seen Bluey. If you haven't, do please take a look. Bluey is a delightful children's program made by Ludo Studios in Brisbane and broadcast on the ABC. Bluey premiered last September and has already notched up more than 1 million plays on ABC iView. Can you imagine? 100 million. Bluey has been picked up by Disney and recently introduced to American children. So Bluey might just become a global rock star. Maybe she'll be... Bluey is a girl. Maybe she'll be the perfect replacement for Paul Hogan and become the face... and become the face of Australian tourism. I'm not sure, though, if Bluey knows how to put another prawn on the barbie. Or even a shrimp. Success stories like these can be reproduced, but it requires a concerted effort and, to some extent, a collegial approach. This may seem an anathema to some, and Australian media, and especially commercial television, is notoriously cutthroat. But as the fallout from recent events has shown, with adversity comes unity. Who would have thought that it would have taken the Australian Federal Police to bring the ABC and News Corporation together? I mean, it's quite ironic, as it's usually News Corp that is attempting to police the ABC. The AFP's action, the raid on the Sydney offices of the ABC and the home of News Corporation journalist Anika Smethurst, have not gone unnoticed overseas. The New York Times wrote, "Australia might be the world's most secret democracy. No other developed democracy holds as tight to its secrets," the Times said. The raids are just the latest example of how far the country's conservative government will go to scare officials and reporters into submission. In calling for media law reform and better protection for journalists and whistleblowers, we are not seeking for anyone to be above the law. We respect the law, and we certainly respect the need to observe the rules of national security. Journalists have always been keepers of secrets. We can be trusted. We don't always report on everything that comes before us, often because matters truly are in the interests of national security. But there needs to be a better clarification of exactly what being in the interests of national security means. For instance, there were more than 4,000 reports of assaults in nursing homes throughout Australia last year, but the media is not permitted to tell Australians if they were by staff or residents or if they led to convictions. If I had a relative in an aged care facility where assaults were happening or had happened, I'd like to know about it, and I'm sure we all would. And given last week's interim report of the Royal Commission into Aged Care, and by the way, it's an investigation that would not have happened if ABC's Four Corners had not drawn the public's attention to the plight of our frail, dependent, older citizens in aged care facilities. I think it's imperative that the public has a right to know. There cannot be any secrecy in our country that prevents us from knowing how elderly Australians are cared for in our aged care facilities. The interim report refers to the cruel and shameful treatment and an aged care system that diminishes Australia as a nation, and indeed it does. Let me make one more important point on the issue of the public's right to know. The Royal Commission into Aged Care and the Royal Commission into Banking, another Four Corners expose, would not have happened if without whistleblowers coming forward and the ability of a free media to report on these matters. Effective democracy depends on informed public debate about key issues affecting society and the nation, and this need is best served by the presence of a diverse range of sources of news and other information, including those that are independent of commercial and other vested interests. The tendency of media markets towards concentration of ownership is clearly at odds with the socially desirable outcome of ensuring a diversity of news and information sources. Against this background, there is a clear role for public broadcasters, which not only increase the number of news and information services, but are also legislatively obliged to provide independent news and information services. The ABC's news and current affairs output is subject not only to public scrutiny through the Parliament, but also to a rigorous multi-tiered complaints process and the most comprehensive set of binding editorial policies of any Australian media organisation. As public confidence in the media's ability to deliver quality news reporting declines, and in an environment where even Australia's quality newspapers need to run more tabloid content online in order to monetise audiences, Australians seeking a credible source of news and information will be even more reliant on the ABC. Commercial media is experiencing a significant loss of advertising revenue. As a result, their regional newspapers and newsrooms are closing. Commercial TV also is seeking commitment from government for reduced obligations for Australian content and perhaps even a complete removal of Australians' children's content quotas. So who is left to do investigative journalism that leads to improvements in our society? To report on stories that matter to the third of Australians that live in regional and rural areas, to invest in Australian drama, education and science programs, in thought-provoking programs on RN, to unearth new Australian music from classical to jazz to new independent music, to broadcast trusted ad-free children's content, to ensure that Australians continue to have access to programs that document our history and reflect our diverse communities in the present, and who will tell the stories of our Indigenous cultures? The national broadcaster, of course. But with the commercial media in retreat, it means the ABC will be expected to do more with less. There has to be some quid pro quo. The success of the digital giants has completely changed the way we watch programs, listen to music, and receive news and information. In its broadest terms, in the shortest amount of time, they have influenced our very culture and democracy. The resulting paradoxes are that there is more content than ever, but the question is it any good? There are more media platforms than ever, but do they serve local and regional audiences? There is more news and information than ever, but can it be trusted? There is more content targeted at children, but has it been made for the benefit of children? Australians are watching more video content than ever, but is it Australian? These questions lead me to believe that many of the solutions lie with public broadcasting and that, as a result, the ABC is more vital than ever. In the analogue world, the ABC was critical, as for many Australians, it was one of only a handful of media outlets available to them, a place to go for information and entertainment, to hear and see the rest of Australia. This was especially true in the bush, where for a long time there was Channel 2, and if you were lucky, one commercial channel. Even in the most isolated parts of Australia, this is no longer the case, and people have a choice of information and entertainment beyond the wildest dreams of anyone 40 years ago. Today's scarcity is not the problem, but the ABC continues to fulfil its vital service to the Australian public in many more ways. It is a public policy solution for the inadequacies and failures of digital media. In regional and local services, as commercial media continues to look for scale and rationalisation to combat the international digital platforms, local newsrooms and newspapers have had to close, as I've mentioned. Meanwhile, the ABC Regional Network operates a total of 46 physical bureaus across Australia, producing and broadcasting around 48,000 hours of original local radio content every year. In terms of news and information, independent research from numerous independent organisations, including Roy Morgan, find that the ABC is the most trusted news provider in Australia. Our own research finds that 80% of people trust the ABC, compared to 58% for commercial TV, 57% for newspapers, and 33% for Facebook. Tells you a lot, doesn't it? Trust in the ABC remains high, while that in other institutions is in decline because of the content we present, factual reporting and agenda-setting public interest journalism. The release last week of Screen Australia's annual drama report confirmed that the ABC is the nation's biggest backer of Australian content and creativity, providing more support for homegrown stories than any other broadcaster. The ABC invested $52 million across 28 programs, more titles than 7, 9, 10 and SBS combined, including Total Control, Glitch, Utopia, Harrow, and the upcoming State List starring Kate Blanchett. Similarly, the ABC remains the home of Australian children's content from the mainstay Play School to our newest star, Bluey, whose success I've told you about. As the public broadcaster, the ABC has a responsibility to serve all Australians, which is why it's crucial that we continue to maintain technology like AM radio. This network serves such an important function, covering wide parts of Australia and broadcasting essential information, especially in times of national emergencies. In the last 12 months, the ABC has broadcast information far and wide about more than 370 natural and other emergency events, including the Townsville floods, bushfires in Tasmania, and cyclones in Western Australia. There's no doubt that, like all traditional media in Australia, the ABC has had to face challenges. And very recently, we are now all in the ring with heavyweight opponents with whom we can't compete on pure size and strength. So this means we have to be agile and creative, determined and fast moving. This is nothing new for the ABC. Innovation is in our charter and our DNA. As an example, we were the first video on demand service in Australia starting in 2008. At that time, Netflix was just a slip of an idea. That is, they were literally slipping DVDs in envelopes to mail out to their customers. The game has definitely changed since then, but we still hold some advantages. First and foremost is the support of the Australian public who trust and value the ABC. That public support is one of our greatest strengths. More than 2 out of 3 Australians come to us every week, and 88% of Australians think we provide quality services and content. But to retain relevance and trust, we must continue to be at the centre of the Australian way of life, whether this is during national moments like Anzac Day or Australia Day, celebrating events like the Hottest 100 or New Year's Eve, broadcasting Matilda's matches, or programs like Old People's Homes for 4-year-olds. We have to be meaningful and unifying. We will soon launch our 2020 content plan, which sets out our key programming priorities for the future. Programs like Backroads, Insiders, Four Corners, Arne's Brush with Fame, and Mad as Hell, and our radio networks, Triple J, Classic FM, RN, all resonate highly with audiences. Our aim is to continue to invest in this content and also find new content that is just as creative, distinctive, and of high quality. We also need to reflect contemporary Australia as it is today in all its diversity, geographical, cultural, and socioeconomic. I believe that in having plans in place, we will continue to hold the trust and support of the Australian public. In 2007, the Sydney Morning Herald wrote, "Just try to imagine Australia without a national broadcaster. You can imagine an Australia, but not this Australia. The character of Australia owes much to the ABC. No other institution reaches as many Australians or touches so many so profoundly. The national broadcaster not only helps fashion Australian life, it is also a deeply personal part of innumerable individual lives." Indeed it is, and it still is. And I think the role of the ABC is even more vital today, because in a world of limitless content choice, the ABC still stands for Australian stories, reliable news and information, and diverse, innovative and quality content for audiences everywhere. And that's why I am confident that the ABC can look forward to a robust and vibrant future. Thank you very much. Thank you.